With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here.
We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting.
No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Talk Show.
Recorded live.
Welcome all. Welcome to another Tuesday night at 9 o'clock. Married Fan Don't Talk Talk Show. Tonight, your host, Tony Hawkins. Tonight's topic is fear. Topic given to me from my main man. And I didn't do a lot of research tonight. And the reason why, because I want to do all the talking. I want us to all talk about the fears that we have in our marriage. Some of us have some don't. But I think that we all have things that we may want to talk about. But the first thing I want to talk about, ground rules, no profanity, and no politics. We got that right?
Yes, I got it.
Okay, good. good.
You ain't got to worry about me, bro.
Yeah,
you're right.
Just don't call somebody out there. Yeah. I don't know if anybody knows this, but not too long ago, my wife got off of birth control pills because she had too many side effects. Her actual pills that she had in the beginning for years got discontinued, and she had to get a new brand, which gave her headaches and all kind of craziness. It was a bad thing. So we made the decision to just get off of birth control pills totally. So
now you got the withdrawal method, or you're thinking about getting that V done. Which one is it?
Well, I'm glad you said that. Because we've also had the conversation that we're not having any more kids. Period. And we don't do abortions, so that's out of the question. If she gets pregnant, it's a wrap. But that is definitely not the plan. And we have talked about alternate ways of handling this situation, and one of them, like T-Town just said, is vasectomy. I've got a contact from a friend of mine that had one, and he spoke very highly of the procedure. That it was inexpensive, relatively painless, a little sore after for, a week or so. And he even told me that he actually, the next week he was out playing golf. But anyway, I still have a fear of getting this vasectomy. And I know it's the thing, I know it's the right thing to do because she's not going to get on any other kind of birth control. That's done. She's
right,
telling me that it's on me now. But I have a fear of getting that snip.
Yeah, and I agree with you.
This is a good topic.
I agree with you.
Well,
I'm right there with you, man.
It's good that I'm in here because I done had the snip.
Oh, you had the snip.
Had the snip.
Wow.
Were you scared? Because right now, everybody on this phone
already had the snip. I'm had the snip.
Yeah, I'm. So it's like three against one because I'm fearful as well, Mr. Host.
It is very fearful to get something that sharp next to something so close to you.
Wow.
But do you want to have any more children?
No.
Well, I'm going to tell you what. It is the most... that's the best. That's your best answer, as far as I'm concerned. It's bad for about 2 days.
When you say bad, what do you mean?
They give you a Valium before you go in. And then you get it, it's about, I paid $380.
Okay.
And it's a snip. It's a very tiny, it's like two stitches. And, yeah, you're playing golf next day. It's that bad. Don't be scared of it.
Gotcha.
Woo. Now, wait a minute. Does your insurance, your insurance pay for the rest of it, and that was your deductible, or cost $300?
My insurance did not pay for it. It was $380 flat fee.
Okay.
But that was at my local health care facility. I don't know how much it would cost, you know, depending on where you go.
Okay. Yeah. I didn't know if insurance paid for that.
Yeah, I think it depends.
Insurances do. Some insurances don't. Where my insurance is out of state, because I work in Maryland and live in Virginia, I got it done in Virginia, so my insurance wouldn't cover it because I work in Maryland. But it's really not as bad as you think. And I was scared to death. And I swore I would never do it. But it's really not that bad. It's not as bad as you think.
But what about the after effects? What about, like, later on down the line?
It's reversible. If you ever want to have children again, you just have to go back and get it, you know, you can get it fixed.
Mm. No, I'm talking about, like, you know, messing with your Johnson some, you know.
Oh,
couple
I
years
had
down
no problems with
right.
my Johnson.
Yeah.
I've had no problems.
Now you got to go to the blue pill because they done snipped you.
No, I don't take any pills for that.
Okay, you a good shape.
No, it's still operational.
Good.
And I mean, I was warned about many side effects. You know, there are a lot of side effects that you can have from it, but I haven't experienced any, and the percentage is very low.
Gotcha.
Now, I read that even right after the snip, you got to let loose for a while before it takes effect, because you still might have something down in the pipe.
Yeah, that's what they told me. Yeah, there is a time frame.
Like 6 months, right?
No.
Yeah, like 6 months. Well, he said between 2 weeks and 6 months. So it's different for depending on who you are and how your body is and all that stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, if you backed up or not.
Yeah, or you're shooting blanks or not.
Yeah, well, I wouldn't recommend trying it out. I'm just saying, the best contraceptive that I've ever used is a condom, and even after I got it done, definitely I used the condom for quite some time.
Yeah.
I am shooting blanks as far as I know now.
That's good words.
Yeah, that's good words, because, you know.
But no, it's nothing to be scared of. It's not nearly as bad as you think. I swear it's not. And that's just coming from one person, though.
Yeah, well, no, you're actually the third person that said that.
Okay. Yeah, it's not as bad as you think.
You're actually the third person, you know, and
I was scared to death.
But
you know.
But yeah, I get that. Do we have a fear also? I mean, because I think I brought up another fear of having, and I'm not going to say unwanted kids because I don't think they're unwanted, but unplanned babies.
Yeah. I mean,
are you at your max right now? Are you done?
I'm done.
Okay.
Of course I'm done.
Unless you want to go back.
I mean, and if it happens, it happens. But, you know, like my wife is at that 40 age where if anybody gets pregnant, I mean, what I've heard and what I've seen is that, you know, there's more complications with the older that, you know, my wife gets.
Yeah.
With having a healthy baby. So it's not the fear of having another one. It's the fear of the complications that she may have by carrying another baby full term at 40 plus.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Because home and job I ain't never worried about.
Gotcha.
Supporting the kid, that ain't going to never be a problem.
Mm-hmm.
You know, with God and faith and us, you know, working together, I'm not worrying about that. But it's more concerned of just the health of the baby. And
so you say the health of the baby. So it's not about just starting to, you know, have this infant all over again and then going through that whole babysitter stage and all that again. No,
if it happens, you got to do what you got to do.
You
got to
do what you
got to
do. Yeah.
You got to do what you got to do. You know, as a baby, I'm going to take care of, make sure it gets to college and the whole nine. So I ain't got no problems if I got a kid that it has my name.
Oh, for sure. I mean, but still, there's the unplanned. Yeah.
Of I don't want one. But if I had one, it's like, okay, now what I'm going to have to do. But I believe I put myself in a position because a lot of people don't want to plan because they're not in a position financially or in their marriage, you know, being strong. They may have a weak marriage.
Sure.
That a new baby affects that marriage.
Yeah.
So it's more of affecting, the kid has nothing to do, it's the marriage that it gets affected when you have another kid.
Well, I'll just say that, you know, my wife is pregnant now and with number three. And a couple of years ago, I thought I was done. And I brought up, you know, just going back to what you said earlier about the SNP. And, you know, my wife was like, absolutely not. You know, I want some more kids. And I was like, what? You know, because I come from two kids and, you know, I guess me and my brother. In my household and my wife, it was the same thing, just her and her brother. So it was family of two. So I got two girls, and I was like, and I wasn't really pressed, you know, about having a little boy or anything like that. So I was like, well, I'm done. You know, so I made the comment, like, yeah, I'm on. And I wasn't really even investigating because, like you, Mr. Host, I'm nervous, you know, about that procedure. So I wasn't even, you know, making any contacts or anything like that. You know, to get the procedure done, I was just talking out of the side of my neck. But she was like, you know, absolutely not. So, you know, we had to hit some turbulence, you know, to get this third one out. But, you know, I'm excited, you know, about this third one. And we'll see what it is. We don't know what it is until it comes out in middle of June. So we shall see. But, you know, to your point, I mean, I think what I was thinking about with that question is that, I don't know if y'all think about it, is that, as, you know, P-Town was saying, I'm not necessarily worried about, you know, taking care of the child, but I am worried about the way of the world, you know, with bringing another child into the world. And, you know, we see every day, you know, you have any incident, you know, that you can think of, you know, happens somewhere on the planet. And, you know, I am fearful of that, you know, and I know we're not supposed to live with a spirit of fear, but I am fearful of, you know, my children being a victim of, you know, random acts of violence or crime or anything. So, you know, and even with this next one, you know, it's like, man, you know, and as the world turns, you know, day by day, it seems like the world is getting worse and worse, and we see it, you know. You just jump on the internet, you can see a live video of, you know, whatever it is happening, hundreds, thousands, you know, millions of miles away from where you're sitting, and it brings it home, you know. So that's, you know, just bringing up children, you know, in the way that the state of the world is fearful to me.
I would have to say that as far as a woman in their 40s, bringing a child into the world, I don't think any of us could judge or say if that's right or wrong. That's entirely up to the woman herself.
Yeah.
Does she feel comfortable with it? You know, can she handle it? You know, being, you know, if you're saying she's 40 or older, you know, I mean, that's, you got to take that into, you got to take, look at that aspect of it. It's really her decision whether to have a child or not. if she's not ready to have a child, then, you know, you need to take measures to avoid having a child. But if she wants to have a child, then, you know, I mean, you're not shooting blanks.
Mm-hmm. I agree with that. She 100% told me.
She's got to carry a baby, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
It's entirely up to her as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah. I mean, what you going to say? No, you can't have it?
If she wants to do it, if she wants to do it, she's ready to do it.
Yeah.
She is perfectly capable as a woman to carry that baby.
Yeah.
As far as
I'm
concerned, I mean, I would suggest going to a doctor to make sure that she's, you know, able to carry a baby. And if she wants to do it, then hell yeah, do it.
Mm-hmm.
If not, to take, you know, take this cement to avoid having that baby.
Yeah. Now, and just another question, because this is kind of on my own street here. But when it comes to taking those measures, and I know we may have brought this up again, I mean, before, when it comes to taking those measures of not having an unplanned baby, whose responsibility is it?
It's yours.
Okay.
You one laying the seed.
I would have to agree with that.
One laying the seed, man. So it's always the man.
Always, yeah, I mean, you know where it's going.
You know exactly how far it's going up there when you let loose. So
you know, it don't got to go in there. I mean, you know where it's going, when it's going, and where it's going.
That's right.
Yeah. So in saying that, no woman should be on birth control. Is that what you're saying?
I think it's both.
My wife had a lot of bad experiences with all kinds of birth control, which is exactly why I got the SNIP.
Gotcha.
Yeah, my wife is the same way. She's had bad experience on birth control. So she, you know, and it just, it affected her body just too much. And so, you know.
And even the side effects, I mean, it decreases their libido, so.
Yeah, you got that right.
Yeah,
I mean, it tells their body that they're, you know, that they're already pregnant. So it's like, why have sex?
Mm-hmm.
You know, it brings the libido down, and you know,
that makes it worse on you.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So you know,
it made you work harder. Mm-hmm.
So either go get the SNP, or you go and you stand in line at CVS. But condoms are expensive. You know.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
We did condoms for a while, and they're not a bad thing, but yeah, that could get expensive.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They do.
It's a lot. Expensive. I mean, if you add it up, it's a lot cheaper to get the SNP.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And they just
have
the same. They don't feel.
It's good. A lot funner to get the SNP.
Yeah. A lot more preparing when you gotta go. Oh, hold on. Let me go get a condom. It just, you know, throws a monkey wrench, little 2-minute monkey wrench.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. You got it.
Yeah.
Right. When you're with your wife, so you don't want to use the condom because you're with your wife. But, I mean, you still got to be responsible in your own household. If the decision was made and it was a partial agreement that we weren't trying to have another kid.
Mm-hmm.
But if you want to stay in the practice field like I do, I don't have to be in the game. Then, you know, you have to take those precautions.
Hmm. Good words. Now we just said that it's the man's responsibility for the prophylactics. Is it also the man's responsibility to make sure that the family is healthy?
Yeah.
Mm. Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Is it do we start by making sure that we're healthy? I mean, do we have a fear? And I think we do, but I'm just going to throw it out there. Do we have a fear of going to the doctor? As men?
Yep.
Yes, we do. Men have 100% fear.
But
I do.
How can we have a fear of going to the doctor if it's our responsibility to make sure that the family is healthy and the head of the household needs to be healthy?
Because, one, men don't look at their health. Some married men look at, you know, I gotta take care of this family, I gotta take care of field. I can't be sick. And even if I'm sick, I still gotta do what I gotta do. So I don't wanna, if I go and find out I'm sick, that's gonna affect what I gotta do to take care of the family, if that makes sense. You know, this person is the head of the household, and he just feels that if he finds out that something's wrong, then it takes away from what he's, you know, his plan for his family.
Okay.
And then, two, you know, when you get up in age, you got to go and take that test.
Yeah.
When you get 40.
Yeah, no, I'm not.
When you get 40
talk
plus,
about fear.
That's the fear.
Yeah, that's the fear.
That's
you ever had that? Y'all ever had that?
I
have. No, I ain't that old.
You had
I
it?
I had it, yeah.
You talking about the prostate joint, right?
I had them all.
You had the colon joint, too?
All of it. Colonoscopy, prostate.
Come on, man.
I had it all.
Gosh, come on, man. Were
I
you scared?
No.
How bad was that one?
When they give you that liquid and you got to stay close to the bathroom for a day,
But hold on a second. Hold on. That was the gist of it. Just being getting cleaned out. That was the biggest part. You have to take this drink, and I forgot the name of it, but I mean it's good to take at least once every 2 months anyway. But it cleans your system out. Everything you drink, if you drink red Kool-Aid is coming out your behind. That's how you are.
Wow.
No exaggeration at all. Whatever you drink, because you can't eat, so you just got to stay hydrated and drink. They give you this pill, and then you got to drink this stuff that you can buy from Walmart. Everything you get, you can buy from Walmart. And then you have to drink one of these bottles, and then you got to drink another one. But anyway, it cleans you out so good. I was drinking water with yellow Hawaiian punch flavor pack.
Mm-hmm.
That's what was coming out of me as it was going in my mouth. That's how clean I was. Go ahead.
Mr. Host, you said that was the worst part, getting cleaned out. What about the banana in your tailpipe?
You don't feel it.
Huh?
You don't feel any of it.
Mm-mm.
You don't.
I'm sorry.
I'm telling you don't even know what's happening.
What?
I'm trying to tell you. Listen. I'll tell you how it happened. I went in with my wife because, because you're a little groggy afterwards. You sit down on a table. You lay down on a table. You lay sideways.
Mm-hmm.
And you're looking at a TV. Then all of a sudden, somebody's waking you up. That's it. You don't feel anything.
They put you to sleep?
They put you to sleep.
Oh, okay. I thought they keep you awake. Well,
No.
Oh, what's the then? So it's in and out.
That's the colon.
Yeah, that's the colon. We want to talk about the prostate joint.
You want to talk about that?
Yeah, because we're nervous about that.
Yeah. Okay. Let me tell you how that happened. I wasn't even old enough to do it. But, you know, I got to know if I'm all right. You know what I mean? I'm one of those people. Let me just go. So I asked my doctor. I said, you know, I've never had the thing. And I was taking the blood test to test if you have cancer through your blood. I can't remember the PSA.
Yep.
And that was, you know, but then he was like, okay, well, since you did that, you might as well just do the other one. And I did feel a little violated. I ain't going to lie.
Wow.
And then, the doctor talks trash to you too, man. Come on, man.
You already know you got to do some kind of bending over. You don't bend over.
You lay on the table.
and you lay on your side. Then he loses that finger
over,
up.
Man.
I'm trying to say, and I hate to do the details, but I got to do details.
You got to do the details, man, for the
people. And he loses the finger up, and then he's up in you.
I'm hurting just talking about
and
it.
And then, and the worst part about it all, the worst part, and I hate to do this because you got to get it done.
is they give he gives you a towel or some paper towels and say, now clean yourself up. That was the worst part. That was the worst part about it all. That's why I said I felt violated. You know what I mean? I was like, oh, man. Yeah. Yeah. But look, you got to get it done. There's no way around it.
I'm making a doctor clean my shit up.
Yeah, there's no way around. Just brace yourself, go in. It takes 3 minutes.
But did he have little fingers? I mean.
Dude, I wasn't looking at the fingers, man. But I will tell you this. It's been my doctor forever. So I kind of knew the guy. I wasn't like, you know, who's this strange, you know.
Yeah,
I mean,
still,
I trust my doctor at some point where, you know. But
listen, I went to the doctor one time, and I had some, my first ever time in my life, had some hemorrhoid problems.
Yeah.
But things just were not working right down there.
Yeah.
And I had to go to the doctor. He was like, all right, now turn over and bend over. And I was like, hold on, doc. I mean, can we talk about this? I mean, isn't this just some cream you can give me?
You trying
like,
to
no,
negotiate.
I gotta go.
You in there trying to negotiate.
Yeah, because I'm not. I'm usually the one telling somebody to turn over. I ain't talking about somebody telling me to turn over. That's just not in my vocabulary. So it took us 15 minutes for him to calm me down, and my pressure went up. And they was like, if your pressure go up anymore, we're going to have to put you in the hospital. And I was like, man, I'm not ready for this test.
So they didn't do it?
He did it.
Oh, okay.
I calmed down. No, he just checked my hemorrhoid.
Oh.
But it was just, that's the problem. It was just like, I was just so nervous then. So I had to go to the hospital because my pressure was so high.
Wow, that's fear, brother.
Man, I'm going to have to switch doctors for that prostate because my doctor.
Talk to him, P. That's what I'm talking about. That's what
I'm saying my doctor's a woman. Definitely switch.
Yeah.
That might
be
a good thing. That might be better. She got little fingers, man.
But I don't know about that. That's a whole other side of her.
Yeah.
I heard
that fingernail.
Yeah.
Oh, he's a nail.
But right. It doesn't really matter the size. I mean, I guess the size of the finger matters.
Yeah,
but
matters.
When they get in there, they got to feel around. So it's not, you know, even if it's a little finger, they got to feel around and they searching for some growth.
Can they put you to sleep for that?
I don't think they would.
I don't think you want to be to sleep. You want to make sure they get in and out.
You don't want to go to sleep now.
You don't want to make sure they get anything else.
You fall asleep and wake up, they've been in there for 2 hours.
Oh, God. Hey, P, that's what they call an unhappy ending when you go to get that joint done.
Yeah. But is that it? Is that it? Okay, the colonoscopy. We got to get that, and the prostate exam, we got to get that. But are those the two main reasons that keep us out of the doctor's office?
Yeah. I mean, we ain't worried about the cost. We ain't worried about the cost. We go for the cost, the physical.
What's up, fellas? This is Mike Garrett.
I'm worried about how much it costs. I'm worried about the other thing.
What's that?
Like whatever else we're talking about.
That's fear.
That's the epitome of fear for me. Me being a man, that's fear is having somebody stick their finger up in there.
Yeah, I ain't worried about the colonoscopy. No homo, you can go up the butt, but I mean, you know.
They got a machine for that now.
Oh, they do?
Yeah. This Mike again. What's up,
fellas? Hey, what's up, Big Mike?
What's up, man? Welcome back, man. I thought it was you, man.
I got my
things,
man. Yeah, I'm back. Hey,
that's what's up, man. Tell us about the machine, man. Tell us about the machine.
Actually, about 3 months ago, I was at the convention center. And they got a festival, I guess they call it, I'll call it convention, you know, where they got all these doctors that do colonoscopy and all that stuff.
Yeah.
They got a machine that goes up in you now. It just, you sit on this table like a horse, and it goes up in you, and they can dot, it's no joke, it can see all up in you and everything. I was like, get out of here.
Are you serious?
Wait a minute.
Time out, Mike. You said you sit on the table.
You sit on the table. It's like a pony horse. You know how you sit
Wait
on
a minute. but something still got to go up there.
Right, right, exactly. You expose from the backside.
And oh,
like,
my
like
God.
A hot, like riding a horse on the side, on a slant.
No, no, that's even worse,
right,
man.
Up. I said, God dang. And they had a camera and everything. They had cameras and everything. They had about 3 or 4 camera links and everything.
Red side saddle.
I was like, man.
Is this for the colonoscopy, Mike, or the prostate?
Yeah, for the colonoscopy.
Yeah, well, I don't think I ain't worried about the colonoscopy.
Yeah.
I'm talking about the prostate. And now you say something about the machines, and I was hoping, because I'm far from 40. You know, so I got plenty of time. You old heads, you know, I got plenty of time, you know, for them to come around with some laser.
Not that
long yet. But I'm hoping that by the time I get 40, you know, which is well off from today, April 24th, 2012. And I hope they'll have, like, a camera or laser or something where they ain't got to, you know, put on the glove and go up in with the finger. You know,
They got the blood test now.
They got the blood test that they take now.
But that's not the real deal.
Exactly.
And people will get fooled because they say, well, you know, my PSA levels are fine.
Right.
So I'm good. But then you could still have an enlarged prostate.
They still got to go up there and check.
They need to have a sonogram or something done.
Like
you know?
People have an enlarged prostate.
Who you say?
One out of four people have an enlarged prostate.
That's crazy.
Yeah, that runs in my family.
It's got to be four people. One of us has an enlarged prostate.
Yeah, exactly. So, look, if that runs, and you know how you know? You're urinating all day.
Yep.
All day urinate. Hold on a second. I got to go take a leak.
Man.
Come on back. 20 minutes later. Hold on a second. I got to take a leak.
Don't talk about it, man. Don't talk about it. Because I was reading it because I was thinking it was the coffee.
No. I mean, but how much can you drink that's going to make you pee all day?
I don't know, man.
You don't want to drink coffee all day, man.
You don't want to drink coffee all day.
He had dehydration from drinking coffee all day. He was drinking big size of coffee, but, you know, man, it freaked me out. That freaked me out. I don't even drink coffee, but that freaked me out. Coffee is a liquid, is it not?
Dehydrated
from drinking coffee. That's crazy.
I mean, maybe the sugar in it. Maybe a lot of sugar is drying them out. I don't know.
Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, but again, and just like P-Town said, if it's in your family, you can't wait till you get 40.
Yeah.
Like
but
me,
see, that's when I'm getting ready to turn 38.
Yeah, those
and
rules
I was thinking
don't apply
about
to you.
Going to do it.
Those rules don't apply to you if it's in your family.
Yeah. Because I'm 38, and then I found out, I mean, in African Americans, anyway, it happens. So if you're African American on this phone, then those rules don't apply to you anyway because you can get it at 36, 37, 38 earlier.
I mean, here's a test. If your family has a history of high blood pressure and you on pressure pills, think about it.
Mm-hmm.
If 9 times out of 10, it's coming your way. Now, there's ways that you can avoid it, and we'll talk about that in a second, but I think that we still need to, you know. But again, I do understand the fear of that finger.
Mm-hmm.
Someone has been there, I understand.
I was listening to you earlier, Tony. You were saying that how the doctor told you, hey, clean up. You know, I heard that happened to me, too. So, I mean, the first time I had it done at 35, that happened to me, too. And I said, you're right, that was the worst part. It was like,
that was the worst part. After the finger, you got past, well, you know, the finger's already in there. It's done dealing at that point.
Yeah, clean yourself up.
Clean yourself up. Just saying that made me feel like
I was violated. I don't know about you, I felt like I was violated. And I didn't know.
Hey, look. We done all said that to a skeezer. Now go ahead and clean yourself up. We done all said that.
Yeah.
Now see, the last week I went too far. Now T-Hawk's going too far.
I'm sorry. I had to take it there. But I'm telling you, man, that was the worst part.
Yeah, that was the worst part, because none like you, I didn't know the doctor. You know what I'm saying? And that was even worse, because he kept asking me all these questions about being on the DL and all that. And I'm like,
what? Wow.
And I'm like, yo.
Wow.
You know what I'm saying?
That's
wow. Yeah, I didn't get any of those questions.
Yeah, I know. I know you did.
Wow, your doctor's like, yeah, Mr. Smith, are you on the DL?
Yeah.
Wow.
Oh, dude, have any problems back there? No, I'm fine back there. Well, let's check and see.
Wow. Gosh.
That's, yeah.
I haven't been done in 8 years, though, but yeah, maybe I need to get done again. I had it when I was 35, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, I had that. I had a stress test done. You know, they hook you up like the Bionic Man. You run on the.
I had that done too.
Tony getting all the tests. Every test that's been,
every
you know,
test,
for me and Tony done had it.
Sign me
Tony,
up,
can you
brother.
Take my test for me?
No, not that finger test. No, not that finger test. I mean, look, I'm going to have to do it again at some point, whenever my doctor says it's time. You know, the last time I went in, I got the blood test done, and he said I'm cool. You know, but these things you don't know. You be cool now, and 8 months later, you got a growth. You know what I'm saying? So you got to, you know. So, I mean, I understand why for men we don't go. I think women pretty much are faithful with going to the doctor. We're the ones with the fear of it because of that right there.
Like a few months ago, this is no joke, I almost brought the farm, boy. I brought the farm. I had pneumonia real bad, and I was out here working on ICC in the Maryland area.
Mm-hmm.
I just refused to go to the doctor because I was making that money. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And I just refused to go, and next thing you know, I'm throwing up blood, not just coughing up blood, throwing up blood. And they rushed me to the hospital and got there in time, man. But right around the time Heavy D passed away from the same thing. You know,
wow.
My blood pressure
yeah.
was... highly, you know, I was in the hospital like 5 or 6 days. So,
yeah man.
Because I just refused to go, you know. I got my
yeah,
money.
But that's what
I'm
saying. Sometimes we respect that our job is more important than our health.
Exactly.
We got to make that money. We got to keep them lights on. So I ain't got time to go to the doctor. It's not a priority.
Wow.
Yeah, man. So, yeah, I almost brought the farm, man. Whew. I was, doctor said I was real close. Another day or so like that, I'd have been done.
Yeah,
so my lungs would have filled up with water, and that'd been it. Because I was like, you know, ran the capacity of death when I went into the hospital. So be careful with that, man. Put you on these pills and everything. And it was funny because I was in there 5 days, and two people while I was in there in my same room passed away.
Oh, gosh.
Oh, man.
Yeah, one guy was real old. One guy was like 90-something. The other guy was like, you know, 65 or something. And he passed away, too.
That was just God giving you a hint.
Yeah, man, he's trying to be number three, that's for sure.
Yeah. This is death coming threes, too.
That's right.
Wow. Yeah, man. That's the last time I talked to you guys. Yeah, that's happened to me,
Wow.
Go, man. If you go to the doctor, felt like it was a cold at first. And I was like, okay, I'll get a cold. Ain't nothing. Then the blood started coming. I didn't know it was blood. I just thought it was phlegm, you know. And they said,
different
you ain't got no, there's no such thing as red phlegm. It's blood.
Blood. Yeah, what's it called? Heaving? Something like that?
Yeah.
And you were dehydrated too, weren't you?
Yeah, dehydrated as well, yeah. It was crazy.
You better go to the doctor, man, so you don't end up in the hospital. That's the short of it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, yes.
Because I don't do hospital. I'm going to be honest with you. Other than birth, a child being born. There's no positive reason to be in the hospital. Not one.
Not one.
Yeah.
Not one. And I'm with you 300%. I don't like hospitals. I don't even
I don't do hospitals. It's the smell. It's just everything in the rooms. The people just look crazy. It almost looks like the land of the dead. It's crazy in there.
Yeah.
It's just not a good spot.
If one of y'all go to hospital, I'm telling you now, if somebody tell me you okay, I ain't coming to see you.
If somebody say you're okay, you better Skype me.
Send a text message.
Yeah.
Are you good?
Mail me saying a thumbs up. All right, he's good to go.
Now, speaking of high blood pressure, diabetes, cancer, things of that nature, there's this thing called plant-based diet that I've been reading up on that is said to be able to reverse these health concerns, right? So the question that I want to ask, I mean, you know, if you become a vegan, you can pretty much eliminate a lot of these problems that we get from eating the way that we eat now. But the question that I want to ask, being the head of household, being the head, and we talked about, we established that it was our role to keep the family healthy. Do we have a fear of changing the household diet from things that are brought into the house that are unhealthy, things that we eat when we're out that are unhealthy? And do we have a fear of telling our wife, well, no, we're going to change and we're going to become a more healthy family? Are we doing that?
That's something that the wife usually does.
I mean, I don't think it's a fear to do it. It's just that it depends on what type of pushback you'll get. Because I know I'm always on my wife about us trying to eat healthy and do other things, and she'll do it for like a day. And then she's just like, I'm not going to be able to keep this up. You know, she just hates routines. And I think the thing about eating healthy, seriously eating healthy, whether you're going to be a vegan, a vegetarian, or whatever it may be, or even just cutting back on some of the calories and things you do, it's a routine.
It is a routine.
And it's discipline. It's serious discipline to be able to say, you know what? I mean, just simple things. If you just say, you know what? I eat out for lunch every day. We're not going to go out and eat out as a family this week. You know, when we're out on the weekends, like we're already out and about, we will drive all the way back to our house and eat the dinner that we made, you know, or eat the lunch that we made at our house. It's simple things like that. That's discipline.
That's
and a lot of times it's just easy to say, you know what? Let's pull on over here to KFC, get this 8-piece. And we'll have this done, and it'll be over. And then when we get home, you know, we don't have to worry about that. It's just the discipline that goes into it, I think. I don't know if it's fear. It's just the conversations behind that and then the accountability, because I think with that you need the total buy-in from everybody in the house,
sure.
Particularly your spouse or your significant other. If they're not doing it, I mean, it's hard for you to even have the motivation to keep doing it on your own.
How do you get the kids to eat that healthy?
Yeah, but... If you bring it in the house, I mean, who does the shopping?
Yep. Yeah, that's a good point, especially with kids. I mean,
you don't bring Twinkies in the house, they ain't eating them.
Yep.
Right. You got that right.
Eating rice cakes.
You don't bring fried chicken in the house or processed food, they're not eating it.
Nope.
I mean, you know, when I was growing up, I had to eat whatever was made. I couldn't say, well, yeah, I want chicken nuggets tonight. No, this is what we're eating.
Well, you can close your eyes and think they're nuggets.
Yeah, now our kids have choices. You know?
Yeah, it would be good.
Yeah, I think with kids, you got to start them the right way. And, you know, I know my 4-year-old, she loves broccoli, but don't eat French fries.
Wow.
I'm like, what kid doesn't eat French fries? You know,
I got a 7-year-old that won't eat French fries.
You know, and it's almost like anything potato-based, whether it be hash browns or baked potato, like, she ain't having it. And that includes French fries. I'm like, hey. And she's, you know, we've given it to her. She never eats. She's like, I want some fruit. So I have to, you know, when I go to McDonald's or Chick-fil-A or whatever, I have to change her side item out to fruit.
Yeah, that's like my daughter. She doesn't do soda or any type of fruit juice. She only drinks milk and water.
Soda's
definitely
bad.
She will not drink any soda.
The longer you keep your kids away from soda, the better off.
Man, she does not like sodas. And she does not do. She doesn't like orange juice. She doesn't like apple juice. If you give it to her, she'll take like a swallow and be like, yeah, no, Daddy, can I get some milk? She's like, who? Hot summer days. I mean, who drinks that? You outside and exercising, working out. She was playing out there riding a bike and all. I mean, Daddy, can I get some milk? Seriously? I'm going to get a soda or a Gatorade.
No, but some cold milk with some ice in it or a hot. I mean, that's pretty good.
That sounds disgusting to me.
Yeah, for sure.
My serious drink, and I feel like I want to yak. I'm just like, you better drink that.
You know, milk, like whole milk, actually has 85% water.
Mm.
More water than anything. You would think that skim milk would have. I don't know how much water
skim
milk has.
It's got fat in it, too, though.
Yeah.
She drank that 2%.
Yeah, 2% is good. Low fat, good. Yeah.
But yeah, you're right. You do have to start your kids out early. I mean, that's the...
You do. Yeah, you can't like, come on, you know, let's go to McDonald's. I mean, and that's the hardest part. I mean, but McDonald's food is horrible. It's good, but it's horrible for you.
Yep.
You don't even know what that stuff is. And the fries, they don't even get old. How many times you find fries under the back, between the cushions and
they
the back of
your seat? They don't got nothing on them.
Hmm?
There's McDonald's fries in the back seat. They ain't got them old or nothing on them.
Exactly. What are they
doing? They're like 20s.
They don't turn green. They don't do
they
nothing.
They don't. No, no. No mold or nothing.
No mold or nothing. What is that, man?
That's going
that.
In your children's belly.
For sure. For sure.
Yeah.
And the nuggets and all that other stuff that we don't know.
Pink slime.
Yeah, but we don't have time, right? A lot of times we don't have time
mm-hmm.
to cook.
You
got to stop and get a quick meal. Where do we go? Happy meal.
Discipline.
Yep.
It's discipline. And it may be, you may be right, P. It's discipline, but fear of the discipline. Fear of saying, I got to make this commitment.
Yeah.
That's what I'm thinking.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And then the flack that you're going to get from the family. If I came home right now, like I stopped eating meat at one point. My family didn't stop. It was like, we're happy for you. My wife was like, I'm happy for you. I hope it worked out well. I'm going to order me a steak.
Oh, man. That's
you know
funny.
What I mean? I mean, and what can you say? You can say, well, you know, you grown woman. You can't eat steak because I don't eat it. No. So what happened? I eventually started eating steak again. I got outvoted.
You're definitely wavered.
Yeah. But anyway, I do have a monkey wrench tonight.
All right.
And Rodney kind of touched on it earlier. It's definitely uh-oh. We've all been watching the news about the latest incident, and we all know what it is. And we look at it from a right or wrong standpoint. But there's a bigger picture because we're all parents. And the thing that could happen to someone could easily happen to us. And Rodney just talked about bringing another child into the world and the fear of the way of the world right now, the things that are happening in the world.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And this is an obvious answer, but I want to talk about it for a little while. Do we have a fear of our children dying or getting killed?
Every single day.
Every day, yeah.
I mean, but
every
it's a...
Moment.
Go ahead, I'm sorry, go ahead.
I believe every moment, man. I mean, from birth, you know, if they cough, you right over trying to make sure that they're getting enough air. To times where you want to make sure they got the helmet on when they're riding their bikes. And you know, they hold your hand when you're walking across the street and they don't do anything. You're very cautious.
Sure.
With the kids, because you don't want anything to happen to them.
I'm going to be honest with you. The only time that I really get fearful about something happening is going to sleep. That they just won't wake up.
Wow.
I mean, I don't worry. I mean, honestly, I probably should, but not to the same level of being in the car with me. We out, helmet on, with a tricycle on the bike, or, you know, a swimming pool. We that swimming, you know. I don't even worry about that stuff at the playground, climbing up on the jungle gyms, might fall on the neck. That stuff means, like, I'm right there. But that sleep, I'm telling you, every time. I know every time I turn over, move, whatever, I might just venture down there and take a look.
Wow.
And I got this little light that I put on, and I try to make sure I see that stomach or that chest going up and down.
Yeah.
I worry about that all the time.
Well, how old is your child?
We 3 in June.
Yeah, see, I think that my children passed the, I guess, 5, 6, 7 months past the quote-unquote, you know, I don't know how long SIDS is
Was it like 9 months, 10 months, or something like that?
Yeah, you know, but past that threshold, you know, my kids are asleep now, and I, you know, they sleep good, and that's one thought that, you know, I don't even think about is them not waking up, but I do think about, you know, I think that we are more cautious, you know, as someone said about. I know when I was growing up, you know, I could go all over the neighborhood and just be home, you know, by the time the street light is on. And, you know, but now, you know, my daughters, they don't go out of my sight, you know, and they're 8 and 4, and, you know, we live in the cul-de-sac and everything, cool neighborhood, nice neighborhood. But, you know, I see other kids walking around and, you know, by themselves, and they're their age and older, but not mine, you know, not at all. They don't. I'll be outside, you know, whether I be just sitting, chilling, or washing my car or doing something, you know, outside in the yard, but, you know, they don't be hanging out outside, you know, by themselves under no circumstances. Either me, you know, or my wife is out there with them, because I don't, you know, I'm not, and you're not going to see, you know, if I have anything to do with it, you're not going to see, you know, any of my kids, you know, abducted from my neighborhood, you know, from my block, you know, that just ain't going to happen. I just can't. That's what I'm fearful of, and I don't even let them go beyond, you know, my sight, you know. So they go down to the neighbor's mailbox and turn it on around, you know, ride their bikes or whatever, and if we go to the park, you know, I go with them.
How far is the neighbor's mailbox?
Oh, just, you know, just a couple.
Next house?
You know, yeah, the next few houses, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Like public enemy said, can't trust it.
Yeah, I believe.
Can't trust
that.
It.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Times have changed, so, you know.
I think that.
What's scary is the fact that now boys and young boys got to be on lockout. You see how many times on the news these teachers having sex with these little boys? I mean, these women are crazy. The boy in the ninth grade, and she's 32. What?
Yeah.
I mean, hey, you better watch your sons. It used to be people saying, oh, don't let your son join the Boy Scouts. It's crazy because they're feeling on little boys. You better watch these grown women, too.
Yeah. That's crazy. It seems like that the different age, like we have different paranoias of that for our children with different ages. I guess it's age appropriate because when they're, I guess, 3 and younger, we worry about the sleep, not waking up. And then, I guess, older than that, we worry about other things, being abducted. And, like, my children are older than that, and I worry about a car accident.
Yeah.
That's my fear.
Texting and driving.
Exactly. Texting and driving, somebody drunk on the road. You know, my daughter wants to buy a car now. And I'm like, I ain't ready for that. You just got your license. She's sending me pictures of cars. He says, yeah, you know, it's a good deal. I need you to know. No. You know, I got to get ready for that.
Yeah.
You know, and it's hard to tell them that I'm not ready to see you driving yet.
He's talking about yo-yo, is he?
No, she's already got a car. But you know
what
I'm saying?
It's like that commercial with that guy. Y'all seen that commercial?
Yeah,
where
the
little toddler's in
the
seat.
Yeah.
He's like, all right, be careful. And she's like, okay, Dad. And she's like a teenager.
Yeah. I mean, think of the person that you are now and then the person that you would be if something happened to your kid. Like, would you be any more good? Think about it. I mean, it's crazy, but I don't know if I would be the same person. I probably would be someone totally different. How do you get past that? And I know parents do it. They find a way, but it's just, it's a difficult thing to think about getting past if something happened to one of your children. It's a very difficult thing to think about. And we do, it doesn't matter how old they get. I think we still feel the same way, even when they're grown adults.
Because I guess it doesn't expire, you know, like once they reach a certain age or, you know, once they get married and out of the house, once they have it could happen any time.
That's right. And what can you say to a parent that's lost a child. You can never say, I know what you're going through. I mean, what can you say? How do you console somebody like that? What would somebody say to me? Be strong? The average be strong?
It's a little water.
Does it bring dog to me?
Just maybe give him a hug. That, I mean, I. What can you say?
Unless you've been through it, you can't say much of anything.
And yeah, you can't say anything.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, and like this whole news thing is, you know, we all get wrapped up in the whose fault and this, that, who got arrested, who didn't get arrested, who got on bail. But, the big thing is, like I said, we're all parents. And if that was one of us, how could we even move to the next day? I wouldn't know how to get to the next day.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You got to make funeral arrangements. You got that. I don't even talk about that. You know, it's for us as parents, it's just difficult, especially men. I think it's very difficult. But anyway, I want to open the floor a little bit. And I don't know how many we got left. Well,
I think something must have happened to the lines because it almost seemed like people got kicked off. And that happens sometimes.
Yeah.
Well, I'm still here.
Oh, yeah, Mike's still there, so roll with it, brother.
Yeah.
Hey, Mike.
Well, yeah, my computer's only showing four people.
Mm-hmm. I don't know how y'all feel about the Trayvon issue with him getting arrested for murder, but I didn't like the fact that he got arrested for murder. I think murder's going to be hard to prove. I'd rather for him get arrested on manslaughter, you know?
Yeah.
You know, that'd been an easier case, in my opinion, to prove. It just looked like they setting it up for him to get off, you know, to me.
Understood.
My opinion.
Yeah, and that actually brings up another fear.
I got a son that's autistic. He's 18. He's 6 foot tall, 200 pounds. Now, if you follow him and you do this, if he was in the same predicament, he wouldn't communicate to you to where he wouldn't understand, to which he would understand it. Hey, I want you to stop. What are you doing around this neighborhood? He looked at you like you're crazy. Like, hey, I'm going home. He'd have kept on walking. And if you'd have followed him home, it would have been a whole different ball game then, you know? But
you bring up another fear, Mike, and that's you know, the fear of, you know, we talked about earlier in the first hour about, you know, all these things that are happening in the world and in our communities and everything. But what would happen if you're a witness to some of this stuff? I mean, your life changes as well, you know, and granted, you know, I mean, just look at, you know, what you're talking about. The Trayvon Martin, there are witnesses to that event who their life is not the same. You know, they witness an event, but at the same time, it's like their life is not the same just for the fact that they were there as a witness. And I mean, and, you know, what's going to happen when they're asked to, you know, come up on the stand
and
testify? You know, it's like,
go ahead.
I mean, the spotlight is on them, and it's like I was just a witness. I didn't, you know, they weren't the trigger man or anything.
Yeah,
you know, and that can happen with any of us, you know, where, you know, you run up on a situation, and you know, you try to help or whatever. You're a witness to it, and then you're called, and then you're part of the whole, you know, the case, and you know, ultimately, sometimes people are put in witness protection. You know, and all that, I mean, that's like real stuff. That happens. You know, whereas before you were just going about your life, you know, and next thing you know, you're in a place where you happen to witness a crime.
Mm-hmm.
And then all of a sudden, you're wrapped all up in that stuff where you can't like, oh, no, I really didn't see anything. Yes, you saw it all. You are the one key witness. So that affects your life, your family life, your work life. You can't go on the same after that.
And not even to mention the fact, Rodney, that it's a judgment call. Just like you said, at that point, there's a judgment call.
Right.
Whether you say, I saw it or I didn't see anything.
Right.
And growing up in New York, let me tell you something.
That's the Smith's rule.
Growing up in New York, nobody saw anything.
Mm.
I remember walking down the street. I remember walking down the street, and it was a dead body right there. And we had to walk around it. Cops pull up and says, okay, I guess. I know nobody saw nothing, right? Nobody. People standing around. Standing around. They ain't run. People standing around doing it, minding their business. There's a dead body. Cops interviewing people. I ain't see nothing. And that's why there's so many unsolved murders up there, because nobody's snitching. They ain't see nothing. So it's a judgment call. You say, I didn't see nothing. Guess what? You never go to court.
Right.
They don't harass you. So, all right, peace out. But once you become a good Samaritan, which we all should be, that's when your life changes.
Mm-hmm.
I saw a couple, about a month or so. I was driving in Southeast going home, Southeast Washington, and this guy picked this big guy. He's about, let's say, 6'4", about 260 at least. Picked up this little dude about 5 foot six, 160. Picks him up and slams him on the concrete. Now, the people, it was broad daylight. The people came to his rescue so quick. It looked like the guy was a piece of meat, and they were hungry dogs because they jumped on him, and I swear they beat him till he was tired. I was driving. I just slowed down. Just happened to see this. The guy got up, and they beat him. They actually beat this guy till they got tired, this big dude. They beat him till they were tired. You could just see their eyes. They were gasping for air. And he got up. He got up. He stumbled off, and I said, you know what? Maybe he deserved that. You know what I'm saying? Maybe not that, you know, jumping of, you know, maybe not that vicious of a jump, but maybe he deserved that. Nobody told him to pick that other guy up and slam him. You know what I'm saying? So I was like, you know, my judgment was like, maybe he deserved that. Maybe, I don't know what really happened. Maybe owed him some money or something. But
I saw
that he didn't die or anything, and I just pulled off after that. I was like, oh, well, he lived. As long as he's living, it's all good.
Remember,
you know?
Remember, Mike, remember 9/11? Of course you do.
Of course.
And didn't one plane made it because they, I'm just hoping that I'm right with this, because the passengers fought back, right?
That's right. That's right.
That's what
they're
saying, but I don't believe that.
Well, they made it, and we knew that there was terrorists on the plane, so
they didn't,
something had to happen. The terrorists didn't just quit. You know that.
Listen.
They don't quit. You know what I mean? They didn't just get scared. They got overtaken.
Yeah.
But do you think that could have maybe changed society a tad bit, where people are no longer just sitting there saying, it's not my business?
I mean, you got to realize,
no.
On the plane, it's your life. It's your life.
No.
It's your life. It was your life.
Okay.
And you see it on the train all the time, man. They jump on you. And you see these little boys on the train, and you'll see them just jump on somebody for no reason at all. Or they be cursing out there, and nobody would say that. No, I mean,
if it's your life, yeah. If I'm on a plane, yes, I got nothing to lose. You feel me?
Like a few weeks ago, they had that when the pilot start tripping, then it's time to start knuckling up. But see, God works in mysterious ways, because listen, when the pilot start messing up, why he start messing up, and everybody on there was going to a security guard convention. So he wasn't going to make it because everybody on the plane was security guards. They know how to handle a situation like that.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, I mean, people are cuckoo, man. You always got to have your guard up. But then a lot of people is like, is it worth it? Is it worth my life to interfere with this situation?
But I mean, on a plane,
to protect somebody else,
you're not protecting. You're protecting yourself. I mean, you're in danger. If he crashed a plane into a building, who gonna die? You gonna die too. So I mean,
mm-hmm.
You got nothing to lose. You're not really protecting yourself. You're protecting, you know, yourself. That's why nobody, when they said the plane crashed, the way the nose went down on the plane, like it went damn near straight down. That's why I don't think they I didn't say they didn't fight. I'm not gonna say that. That's obvious they fought. But I think they were actually shot down for real, and they just covered it up.
They were shot.
If I'm gonna land the plane, I'm not gonna land it straight into the ground. You know what I'm saying?
Oh.
I'm not gonna land a plane straight to the ground. I'm gonna try to at least ease it down or something.
Well, if you know the story, you know the planes came from the Air Force Base, Andrews. They missed the plane and they tried to make it to New York to catch those planes. They were feet behind the planes when the second plane hit the building. Then they were told to bear off and go get the other plane. So those two planes handled business in the air. And then right after that, that's when FAA said, all right, let's land every other plane.
So you don't think that may have sparked some sort of good Samaritanism, if that's even a word?
I still think it jumped off in the air.
No, I'm just saying, regardless of what happened, the story was that the people fought back and got the plane back.
Right.
You see what I'm saying? So that was the story. So that's what the people, you know, heard. So obviously now it's like, okay, we can fight back. But either way, maybe they're not. Because like you said,
they fought back and got the plane. But, hey, if that plane goes face down, that was either some bad FAA instructions.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I think it was actually shot down, but
yeah.
The biggest story would be like for America. No, the people on the plane are heroes and stuff like that. You don't want to say, hey, yeah, we shot a plane down. That don't look too good on us. You know?
that don't look good.
That don't look good at all. Yeah, we shot a plane down to save the Capitol. Yeah, that don't look good at all. Because I was right there on 3rd Street when all hell broke loose.
Yeah.
I was on 3rd Street, and that was the wildest thing I ever seen in my life. I'm like, coming up, I was in the tunnels, actually. And I didn't know anything till 11 o'clock because I had no phone communication, no nothing. And if you don't know, all that mall area is connected. So I'm down in the tunnel area working, and I had no communication. I saw these guys roll past me, and usually I can hear – I was at the Voice of America. You can hear the delivery trucks coming in all day, you know, big trucks coming in all day. And I was like, you know what? I haven't heard a truck in about 2 hours. And I still didn't think nothing of it. So I saw 6 guys pass me in all black with M16s. And I'm like, where the hell are they going? They said, we're going to the Capitol. There's a plane on the way. We got to evacuate the Capitol. Plane hit, you know, everybody's telling me the whole thing. I go, what? 2 planes hit the plane. Yeah, right. I go, yeah, right. I didn't believe him. I kept on working.
Yeah.
He goes, no, you got to get out of here. I'm not kidding. So I go up top. I go outside. They say, yeah, we're under attack. It's like, okay. I still don't believe. Till I go outside and I see people, white people in suits. All these guys in suits and, you know, guys suit and a tie, look like he's a businessman, running away from the Capitol. Sprinting. And it's like, They're not kidding. I'll just, you know.
But do y'all think, you know, with that, you know, and that was, what, 11 years ago now?
Yeah, 11 years ago.
But do y'all think that our fear of terrorism has subsided, you know, some? I mean,
yeah.
You look at those moments, it was like, man, we, you know, it was all kinds of, you know, potential next attacks or, you know, but over time, I mean, 11 years later, we've had a bunch of thwarted attacks and attacks that weren't successful and, you know, thank God. But I mean, you look at that fear as Americans, has that fear subsided about the whole, and that, you know, Bin Laden's dead, you know, I mean, has that fear subsided? Are we not as afraid of terrorists and terrorism anymore, even though it still happens, you know, all over the globe and could potentially happen here tomorrow?
We're more aware.
Go ahead, I'm sorry.
Go ahead, Tony.
I just think that we are right now society. Everything is right now, what's happening right this minute. You know, like we talked earlier about advertisement. You advertise 30 seconds, 20 seconds. People don't want to hear a half an hour of what you're trying to sell. I mean, it's everything is right now. If it's not in your face right now, I think it's out of sight, out of mind. Now, we know that it exists. We know that it can happen. But if the media is not talking about it, people aren't thinking about it, I don't think.
True,
you know, which is good because, you know, the media sells fear. It's always been. It's always been selling fear to make people you do different things that they wouldn't normally do. Spend money in certain areas. You know, they're talking about this end of the world. What is it, December 21st or something like that? Is that the date?
The Mayan calendar.
Yeah, people are out now spending money, building bunkers, buying guns, buying ammunition, all this stuff. Because they're ready for the end of the world. You see what I'm saying? So, I mean, you put it out there, somebody's going to buy it.
And the more fear, the better. Because, like you said, I mean, everything they sell is fear. I mean, and I know I don't even watch the evening news.
I don't either.
Because what do they do? Whatever, if it bleeds, it leads. So, you know, like somebody shot, you know, or somebody dead. It's like that's what they start off with. And then, you know, coming up, you know, we've got the food you can't eat no longer. You know, Dr. Such and Such say you can't eat chocolate or you can't eat sugar or you can't eat, you know, apples. And it changes like every day. It's like, nope, you can't eat that or, yeah, you should eat more of that. And it's just like, oh, we got an E. coli outbreak with lettuce, you know, so don't eat lettuce. It's just all fear-mongering every day.
Every day.
I don't watch the news just because of that, too. I just don't.
But it's okay.
You know
it's okay. You got coworkers who watch the news.
Yeah, they bring you up to speed.
Yeah.
They bring you up to speed. You got Facebook. People going to post it on Facebook.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? Don't use a number two pencil. The lead is poisonous. We know that. Use a number
two pencil. Use a number two pencil since day one.
Yeah, use a number three pencil. It's all organic. Come on, man.
Eat organic foods. You know, I don't know if anybody do that. You know, whatever. But organic is better than, you know, than pesticides they put on, man.
Like,
it's more fear. Everything. Scared of this, scared of that.
I want to talk about fear, but I'm going to change the subject. I'm going to make a sharp left turn.
Okay.
As men, are we afraid of having an affair?
Oh, yeah. Yes, 100%. I'll be the outskirt. Yes, 100%.
Go ahead. Talk on it.
Yeah. You got to explain that, P-Town, because I don't have that fear.
And let me help him out real quick. We all know that we don't want to do it. We have no desire to do it. We don't have a need to do it.
Don't have a need.
But that moment of weakness has taken out the strongest.
Oh, my goodness.
The strongest have fallen to that moment of weakness.
What is on the news right now? We got a man who went for the presidency. Got caught up. Senator.
Mm-hmm.
While his wife was having cancer, so he needed that pressure off. And his wife couldn't have him because she was going through chemo.
Yeah.
So what did he do?
Or, you know, in a side item to that, you know, the Secret Service boys who were married.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know if all of them were married, but, you know, as soon as they got over there, they like, yo.
They at the strip club.
You know.
That goes on all the time, man.
Partying.
That goes on all the time.
Yeah.
I mean, we know it goes on.
The rule is you don't snitch on your own.
That's right.
Yeah.
You don't snitch on your own. You don't do that. And look, you notice how they waited till him to come back over there to file these charges. You notice that, right? They could have filed the charges while they were here. But they said, no, we wait till y'all come back over here. They set them all up.
Well, I mean, the administration is a little different now, I think. And there's a lot of things that went on that may not go on now. There's a lot of people that, you know, trying to put the spotlight on certain other people. And if the wrong person finds out about prostitution with Secret Service, I mean, it's going to come out. You know what I mean? And then it's every man for himself. I mean, think about it. How close are you to these people that you going to hold your silence and you know you in it?
Yeah, but look, they wouldn't even have found out if he would have paid the woman her money.
True that.
I mean, the bottom line is he was arguing because, you know, he got drunk and was partying, and she's like, you know, I stayed with you all night. You know, where's my money? And he's like, well, how much I owe you? $800. He like, $800? No. You know, you bought a $50 hoe. You know, and so she's like, no, I'm not your regular streetwalker, escort. I'm a escort. I'm a professional at this joint. You know, what I gave you was my going rate is $800. And he's like, no, absolutely not. You can get 50 and you can get on up out of my hotel room. So, I mean, had he gave her an $800, hey, I mean, it's like at that point, do you give her $800 for the, you know, to ruin your career, your marriage, your life, your other boy's career? But, again, they weren't thinking with the right head at that point. You know, they like, I ain't giving this chick no $800. Hey, she wasn't even that good. $800? Come on, please. $800 for one night, that's more expensive than a hotel room. You know? I'm sure the hotel room didn't cost that much per night, you know? But, again, at that point, it's like, they didn't think they were going to get, you know, caught up. Say, man, get out of here. Yeah, I ain't giving you no $800. You know, so. But had that situation never went down, we wouldn't be talking about it tonight.
No, I got a couple of friends that work in the cigarette service, and they're like, they can't believe it. I got a couple of friends that work there, and they're like, I can't believe it. All you do is pay it. They would have got a collection. I mean,
they did.
Yeah, and it was only like $200 and some change. And she's like, no, I want my $800.
Right.
So you're talking about you get a collection for $800?
Joe, they do this all the time. I mean, seriously, on the real. I partied with a few of them back in the day. Trust me, this ain't the first time they had to do a party or something like that. I don't blame them for their party. They off the hook.
Yeah, they say they got a little slogan, wheels up, rings off.
So you saying it's been going on forever, but it just got caught? They just got caught on a humble?
Yeah,
on a humble?
Joe,
what you
don't
say?
You think, like, last
Listen,
year.
God works in mysterious ways, man. He'll slip one in on you.
You come last year, that one got caught soliciting on the job. Secret Service got caught on the job soliciting a hooker on 7th Street. And you know it's down on 7th Street.
Right, yeah.
Right? He got caught last year. You know what I'm saying? So this ain't the first time.
Anyway, those guys didn't have a fear of having an affair because they were down to get down. I'm talking about the people.
You talking about us.
I'm talking about regular, trying
wholesome.
To be good, wholesome, in love with your significant other, and you scared it might happen. It might be you.
I'm petrified, man. For real. I'm really petrified, actually. I try to keep myself out of certain situations.
Because
I'm petrified.
Wow.
I'm so petrified,
I
got...
Detective. You hear me? That joker don't miss a beat. It wouldn't be surprising if she was on the other line right now. It wouldn't surprise me at all.
Wow.
She don't play. I can't have nothing on Facebook, nothing like that, you know. Shoot, I know she catches me. It's all over, Joe. And she ain't. She worth not doing it. You know what I'm saying? She's worth not doing it. She shows her worth to me that she is not worth cheating on. You know what I'm saying?
But Mike, is that an unnatural insecurity there? I mean, that's kind of.
I feel you on that. But we went
kind of unnatural. Would you say?
Like, early in the relationship, we went through that where, you know, I wasn't sure if this was the right one or not like that. So that was. Still out there messing around, but and she caught and the way she told me, like,
so it was natural because of the
right.
So
now I'm like, wow, dang, she knew about this one, that one, and the other one. I was like, what? How'd she know that? How'd she get that? You know, she didn't leave her house. You know what I'm saying? She ain't go out and search. She on the computer. Look this person up. You know. Did you know I got an iPhone? Did you know that there's a device on the iPhone that if you text on Facebook, it'll actually show your location to the person?
Yeah, you got
to
turn that off.
Yeah, Joe, I didn't know that.
Mm-hmm, you got to turn that off.
I was coming from Baltimore one day with my buddy, and she was like, "Yeah, I see you in Baltimore." Then she called me back like 20 minutes later. "Yeah, I see you on the BW Parkway." I'm like, how do you know all this?
Yeah, because it tells your location, and like when you use the maps and the navigation and stuff, like that's how it starts it up. And you know, I've got navigation in my truck, so I don't even use it on my phone. But yeah, I got that turned off. So when I post, it's like it just say the time. It don't say from Waldorf, Maryland, or wherever I be sitting at. Because yeah, I mean they can keep tabs on you. You know, I think you know still can.
You got these new ones. I would call them new because they didn't have these back in my dad's time. These women that just, they aren't pulling you. They know what you're doing. Like my buddy, he started dating a new girl. You know what she told him? He got a court case coming up, right? She said, "Yeah, I looked at your court case already, you know, online." He didn't say nothing to her about it.
She already Googled
him. She already looked him up to make sure he was on up and up before she deal with him.
Wow.
Believe that. You know,
but I mean, it's but Mike, I mean that's the kind of thing where you gotta do that. I mean,
but it's like wow, man, it's like dang, got like that now. You know, come on now. I know we all. I don't know about you guys, but I'm like I'm 43, so it's like to me that's like a wow issue, man. Where was that? You know, when I was, you know, because you know, you used to hang in clubs. You know, you call your girls and say, "Hey, I'm hanging out with Tony tonight. You know where I'm be at, blah blah," and that be it.
Right.
But now she can text you on Facebook and say, "Oh, you still at the party. Oh, you ain't at Tony's house. You up in Maryland somewhere." You know what I'm saying? And if you don't text back, what's going to happen? You get home, it's going to be some mess.
Uh-huh.
You know, because she's not really clocking you, but she's seeing if you telling the truth. You know what I'm saying? That's the thing there. Yeah. She's making sure you up on the up and up. Because she know where she at. She at home.
Trust but verify.
You know what I'm saying? So, yeah, I kind of keep myself out of situations just because she done showed me that she's worth that. You know what I'm saying? She's worth that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
I agree.
Yeah, but that's one thing. Y'all, so I'm that's one thing I ain't, you know, I'm not worried about that. You know, yeah, it's been, you know, I've been through the stormy times and all that stuff. But I guess I'm just not to the point of where I would step out. You know, no matter how bad it gets at home, I'm just not like, well, I'm going to go stick this one or stick that. I'm just not even, you know, there's willing parties. It would be easy, but I'm just like, that ain't even, that'll just complicate matters to me. So that's not a fear for me personally. So I can't relate to that, fellas, you know, with the whole
thing. Well, let me tell you. Well, see, I'm afraid that the past would come back because I wasn't always the nicest guy. Mm. You know, we all had that past when we were single. And, you know, we always, you know, at least me, always had three on the team. You know.
Mm-hmm.
I mean.
That's what the P stand for in P-Town, player town.
I mean, you know. And I still have sometimes that aggression. I mean, sometimes I'm, you know, that fascination of a nice round big booty. It messes with you. It does. And you try not to do it because you save now and everything. But every once in a while, here comes a nice little booty come around. And you get afraid that, you know, that old tree should come out and you want to say something. And you're like, no, that's not me anymore. That's not my world. But, it, you know, we're men, and we're predators. And if you, it's like a drug. It's like an addiction. If that's what you did in the past, it's almost like, you know, you don't go in an area where you'll be caught up in that. So, you know, don't go to the strip club no more because you know what's going to happen at the strip club if you go.
Don't
go to the strip club no more.
Did you say don't go to the strip club?
Yeah.
Hey, some people don't have to go there. Some people just go to work.
Yeah. I mean, if that was your thing of getting down at work, I mean, it's real hard because that girl come by, and next thing you know, you're getting down. You're like, let's hit happy hour. And then happy hour, you're getting the quick one in the back of the car, something like
that. So look, Let me ask you a question. An honest question, Pete. So we're saying that the majority of men that have an affair, they set out to have an affair. It didn't just happen.
No, I wouldn't say that. I wouldn't go that far with
you. You wouldn't go that far. So you do subscribe to the fact that it can just happen.
It can just happen. I mean, it's happened to me. You know,
it can just happen, man. I really do believe it can just happen.
It's nothing that I was looking for. Nothing that she probably wasn't looking for either to mess with a married man, but it just happened. You know?
It just happened. It just happened. What?
Just kind of happened. I mean, but in my situation, when I was married my first time, I was cheating hard. I ain't going to lie to you. I was getting rough. Like you said, 3 on a team. It was, you know. But they all knew. They all knew that I was married, and they knew.
Yeah.
The house comes first. And they respected that. They actually respected that. Okay, well, cool. Just come see me when you can, Mike. You know, it's cool.
So they were cool with it.
They was cool. I even had keys to one of their houses. You know what I'm saying? It was cool like that.
It happens, man. I've seen it happen, man.
How does it just happen? Walking
like,
through that.
To me, it's just like snowball. It's like a snowball. Like, the first time... You're like, I was mad. I was actually mad at myself because the first time it actually happened, right? Then after a while, it kept going. You kept seeing this one. You know, you went back to her because, you know, things wasn't right at home. The snowball getting bigger. Then you meet another one, and she's down with it too. And you're like, well, get easier now. Then after a while, the snowball was a big old avalanche. Before I know it, 6 months, I had 4 or 5 of them I was hanging with. You know what I'm saying?
Wow.
And they all had a day. They knew a time. I said, well, you know, I would always lie to all of them. So I'm like, hey, I got the kids Tuesday. But actually Tuesday, I'd be with somebody else's house. You know what I'm saying?
So but you Mike, got caught up, and you got caught up, and you lost your way home.
Mike,
I would say that. My home was wrecked by then, so it was all good. My wife was doing her own thing. You know what I'm saying? So that I'm talking about the first time, but, you know, yeah. But, yeah.
Very right.
This Rodney or the other Rodney?
Yeah, go ahead.
Whoever.
Yeah, you Rodney. Because I'm going to take it in a whole other direction. So go ahead and get in there.
I'm just trying to figure out which part just happened. So was it the winking? Was it, the touching? Was it clothes just came off? Was it just you happened to be at dinner? Together at the same table, playing footsies, or was it at the movies, renting the hotel room? What part of this just happened?
Okay,
that's the part I'm trying to get.
Like I'm a bowler, right? Most of them happen from the bowling alley, and I'm a pretty good bowler. And they come up to me.
You be knocking them down, don't you?
Right, so they come up to me and say, "Hey, what's your situation at home?" They want to know what's your situation at home. I say, "Hey, I'm married. I got 3 kids.
Right there."
He said, "You do electrical work, don't you?" "Yeah, I do electrical work." "Well, you know what? I'm at the house."
Right there.
Oh, you're a pushover.
The only part that just happened was the fact that y'all worked together.
Just so happened they were co-workers.
But when you start talking about what's going on in your house to somebody else outside of your house,
well, yeah,
that doesn't just happen.
That's
for some folks, that's true. I mean, when you start talking about your problems or situations outside of your home to another female.
Oh, no, you can't do that.
But
look. They get comfortable. And then next thing you know, you get caught at a weak moment. And you confessing to them, and then next thing you know, they taking care of you.
And listen to what you just said. That's our game.
That's our game. We play.
That's the game men run on women.
All day.
Right.
Women run that on
our man. Right. You having a problem with your man? What part of you don't need nobody like that. You need somebody that's gonna, you know, treat you good and open the door for you, and you know, that's the game, and you get all up in that head, you got it.
Mm.
Yeah.
Right.
And that's what I wanted to jump in there and ask, you know, when Mike was talking about he had, you know, 4 or 5 of them on the team. P Town said he had 3 on the team. And I hope this is all right, Mr. Hoops. Oh, yeah, I think it's time. But I wanted to ask, and this is a real question, fellas. did you have a fear of catching something?
I always strapped up. I'm not, because I was scared to bring something home. You know what I'm saying?
I was always strapped up.
Okay.
Yeah.
Always, because I'm not the friend. I'm scared of having a baby outside. I was more scared of bringing something home.
Yeah.
Can you imagine trying to explain to your wife, you know, why she got, you know, a disease she can't get rid of?
Mm.
You know what I'm saying?
That's what I'm talking about.
So, hold on. Yeah, I get that. I got it. I mean, I just want to go back to Rodney's question about how it happened. And has anybody been in a situation where a woman got your attention that wasn't your wife, that you had a connection with? And it's forbidden for sure. It could be a coworker. It could be a friend of a family member, something like that, or just somebody where she caught your eye, you had some kind of connection, and you feared that connection. Like, I need to remove myself from this because it's not safe where I'm at right now.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It could be like a coworker that comes in, that smells good, is your type, and is cool, friendly, want to eat what you want to eat. You all just get connected, and you're like,
so you're talking you're nervous around her.
Nervous,
mm-hmm.
Like fear, like man, I got to get away from this chick.
Yes. I have been there many a day.
You
wow.
See, it don't have to be at the bowling alley. It don't have to be at a club. It don't have to be at the bar. You don't have to be drunk. It could be a normal, everyday situation where somebody stepped in your safety zone
mm-hmm.
and got you shook.
Mm.
Yep.
Shook one.
Been there.
Wow.
Been there and done that.
You see? So in that voice, in that...
You got to get out of the way.
You got to get out of the way. Then you say, yeah, I'm fearful of having an affair. I mean, because if somebody can get that close to you, what's the word, infiltrated? If somebody gets that close to you, it can happen.
Yeah.
I would think. But is anybody fearful of the other way?
What, your wife?
Uh-oh.
It's that time.
Kept them on just for that. Mm.
Is anybody fearful of the other way?
Mm.
Like their wife may have a weak moment.
Dun, dun, dun.
I mean, we do.
85% of the men are jealous these days.
Yeah, because we, you know what? It'd be, I'm not like me and my significant one now. We're not married, but you know, I've been married twice.
Yeah,
and I really wasn't worried about because it would show. You know what I'm saying? I've been married twice. The second time it showed. I could see that somebody had her attention. You know what I'm saying? It was out of the ordinary. Things weren't just right. I can tell. I can just see it because I was married the first time.
Right.
And I was like, nah, Joe, you doing this and you ain't doing that. Y'all know the story, so we ain't going there again. But I could see it. I could see that it wasn't right, you know? And like men, the first time, first marriage, I just ignored the signs.
Yeah.
All the signs were there that she was messing around, but I just refused to ignore. I just ignored them. I said, you know what? Her needs are more, the family's more important to me than her needs. You know what I'm saying? If she out there getting her needs met, that's cool. That's on her. She got to do with that. But, you know, I want to keep the family together because I got three kids with my first wife.
Sure.
It was more important that I kept the family together. But if the home's broke, it's broke. You know what I'm saying? That's
mm-hmm.
It's going to be broke. The kids can see that. No matter how old you know, you said you got a 4 and 8 year old. If things ain't right in the house, them 4 and 8 year olds, they know what's going on. They can see it. They're not going to be happy. They're going to start bringing Brad Gary's home and stuff like that. Believe it or not, when me and my first wife broke up, the report cards went up big time. When we broke up, everybody's grades went up. It was amazing. It's like, man, I thought I had some stupid kids. They're not stupid at all.
Yeah.
I wasn't happy.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
I think I muted somebody by mistake. I apologize for that. But anyway, if now, we all like to believe that we're doing a good job as husbands and
yep.
as significant others. And we would like to believe that our wife is as happy as she can be skipping the work, for, you know. But how do you really know? You know what I mean? How do you really, really know? You know, because a lot of times they just they play the part, just like we do. We have issues, but we don't always express our issues. We come home and there's things that we would like differently, but we're like we've learned to live with it the way that it is, because it may not change. You see what I'm saying? But on the flip side, your wife may learn to live with it, but or a significant other, but still, we're not saying that somebody else may come along and say, okay, for 2 hours, I'm going to give you a different environment, a different outlook on life, or just an escape. Are we fearful of that, that it could happen to us?
It could happen, but, you know.
Because I know we're not that arrogant to think that it can't.
It can. I mean, it's happened to me twice, so I mean, I believe it can happen to me, but, you know, this one's totally different. You know, I look at all of them as being different persons, you know what I'm saying?
Sure.
But
sure.
This one's way different. I could, you know, I could see it. If it was somebody, if she was doing something, I could, it would show her like a sore thumb, you know, because she don't go nowhere. She don't have no girlfriend she hang with.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's a little different situation.
Yeah.
You know? She can't wait to go on Friday nights with me. You know, every Friday night we go out, you know. So Friday night's our big night. We go out, we have drinks, blah, we have fun, you know. That's our thing.
Yeah.
And I always keep it fresh and new. That's what I learned from being married. I learned you keep it fresh and new, you have no problems.
Yeah.
When you get complacent, that's when things start happening.
It happened to one of my friends, and it was bad. And because I worked close to my friend's wife, not in the same office, but in the same area. And I would see, you know, we'd go over the house, have dinner with him and his son and the wife. And then during work hours, I would see her with the next dude at lunch.
Mm.
And it was bad. It was a decision. And this was a long time ago. And
wow.
And I never said anything. I didn't know how. And I kind of regret it now. I mean, I don't like to say that I have regrets, but, you know, and even if it happened now, I don't know how I would have broken it down to them. Like, yo,
right.
I, you know, because then again, they could have been coworkers eating together.
Right, right, right.
You
right.
See what I'm saying? And here I am telling him, yo, I think your wife's having an affair.
But was it, I mean, but it was some truth to that, though, right?
There was right. Some truth. Yes, she was eating with another man, or not eating, but they were walking together on the regular. And I knew my boy had dropped her off in the morning because they carpooled. You know what I'm saying? So he's thinking everything's great. You know? And then, you know.
So he's dropping her. He don't even realize he's dropping her off, and the
yeah.
Other guys they're waiting for.
Don't
hey,
even
honey.
Realize.
Good morning.
Don't
wow.
Even realize the co-worker's waiting for your wife to get there.
That's right there. That's rough, man.
That's rough. I told one of my single co-workers the other day, he was like, yeah, he goes out to the clubs, whatever. Sometimes, you know, married chicks, you know, he gets with them. I'm like, dude, that's not even right. And I said, you know, you don't know what a married man goes through with this woman. How we work, we try to be good husbands, we try to provide, we try to put food on the table, we try to do everything we can do, just marriage counseling, whatever it is that we can do to be better, to keep our house together. And the next dude just comes along and knocks it down.
Mm. Wow.
No commitment, no nothing. Let me just slide
wow.
In and handle this piece and I'm out.
Wow.
You know, that's just like building a house and you're from scratch, from foundation all the way up. You know what I mean? And somebody
right.
Else just comes in and lives in it.
That's like the dude said in this song. It's like, you might wife her, but I one night her.
That's got to be, yeah, I mean, but, you know.
But if your wife is at the club, Mr. Host, that's a problem.
It's a problem. Happy hour. It's a problem.
Problem.
Right.
It's a problem.
Right.
It's a problem.
Mm.
You know, if she's somewhere out. Somewhere on the regular being social without you, I think it's a problem.
Yep. On the regular, yeah.
Yeah.
on the regular. I mean, you know, girlfriends have birthdays, bridal showers, all that kind of stuff. Yeah, I get that. You know, but outside of that, problem.
Man, I don't know. I just, you know, being through it, it wasn't difficult the second time. Let's put it like that. It wasn't difficult. That first time,
you knew your options at that point.
Yeah, because I've been with her for over 20 years.
Yeah.
You know?
That's a long time.
I know that she was, you know, I dolled you up. You know, I told you how to do things, you know, get your toes and nails done. To know that somebody else, I was dolling you up for somebody else was the worst.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
To know that is just the worst.
Yeah.
Oh, well, I brought you those clothes. Like Tony said, you know, build your house up. I'll build you up. You know,
that's an Orange Juice Jones moment.
Yeah, that's what I was saying too. Right. Orange Juice Jones. He's like, look at you, silly rabbit.
Yeah.
Yeah. Believe me, kids. Yeah. You know,
if I said, look, if I told her today, cut your right arm off, and I'll marry you again, she'll do this shit without even thinking.
Wow.
Because she's done been out there now. You know.
Yeah.
Wow.
She realized what she did is gold. You know.
That's crazy.
Yeah. You know, I think for me, no one, that includes my wife, as much as we love each other, no one can be trusted 100%. If they're put into the right circumstance, into the perfect storm, if you will, you know, anyone could be susceptible to making a mistake.
Yep.
I know that's loosely and lightly putting it, but nonetheless.
Be sure.
You know, me and my wife, you know, joke, and I think I might have said this on the call before, but you know, her man, he likes some Derek Jeter and Vin Diesel, which I think most women do.
Yeah.
And you know, I like little petite Jada Pinkett.
Yeah.
And we talk about, you know, I probably more than her joke about them things, you know, kind of all the time or whatever. But you know, hey, you put into a perfect storm. You can't really say what you do, and you definitely, because you can't say what you would do, you definitely can't say what they would do.
For sure.
Oh, well, listen.
For sure.
Say that.
It's going down. I say, listen, take one for the team, because you ain't getting it again. Because I already told the wife, if Janet come around, it's over. I'm taking one for the team.
Well, I said that.
Not for Janet.
Yeah. I'm getting it in, and I'm going to bring the money back, and we're going to talk about it. We're going to go to counseling. I'm going to say I'm sorry. Janet come in.
That
she already know.
Moore.
I love
her. What movie was that with Demi Moore and Woody Harrelson?
$1 million. The proposal, not the proposal.
The proposal.
Indecent proposal.
Indecent proposal. That's
yeah.
it. Now
yeah.
think about that. Now that should be a show all in itself.
For sure.
Mm-hmm.
For sure. Indecent
for sure.
proposal.
That's Tony's next topic.
Yeah. yeah. But Patrice, you just made something. You just said something profound. I don't even know if you realize it.
Uh-oh.
You said you go do your dirt, and then you just come back and say I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I mean, just
wow.
think about if that's in the back of her mind, like, well, you know, oh, I'm sorry, and we're gonna be all right again.
Mm.
Wow.
Wow.
That's good.
Wow.
I mean, Variety is 1,000% correct. The right circumstance, anybody can get weak.
We haven't done the rules since the beginning. You know, the first son messed up. And we've been following that rule ever since, you know. And everybody know who the first son is, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he followed her into that bush, grabbed that apple, ate that apple. And we've been doing it ever since.
Mm-hmm. It's the power they got. They don't even know they got it like that, you know?
That's the
exactly. And the ones that know that they have the power and utilize the power are the ones that always stay on top.
They do. They do.
Yeah. I mean, because you think about yourself, and you just choose anyone, you know, an Eva Longoria or Stacey Dash, or you know, all of us can probably throw some names out there. I didn't throw down somebody's street.
For sure.
But, you know, put yourself in that whole deserted island, you know, thing. But actually, let me not even go that extreme, because we all men, so you ain't even got to go to that extreme. You know, it's just, it could be in the office, you know, that whole office environment that we were just talking
Tracy
about.
Tracy at the
office. Tracy, that's it. Put yourself in that circumstance. And if you're honest with yourself, you saying if you had free reign, I know, most of us are not going to go that route. However, there is something in our mind that there is a spot of doubt in that mind on what would actually transpire if that person came on to you. Because most of us are just, you know, how they say we only have a paycheck away, but some people, you know, from being broke.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Some of us are only an aggressive woman away. For making that mistake, if we're honest with ourselves. And that's vice versa, right? Women aren't immune to that stuff either. With my wife, we were at the last time Tyler Perry came through here with one of his shows, and you know how Tyler do.
Yeah.
You know, Tyler got to have, you know, the guys rip their shirts off, and they got to be oiled down. They got the six-packs going and all that other stuff. He got to have all that stuff going on with the Calvin Klein underwear and the pants kind of like, you know, right there so the girls can see everything, right? Or at least almost everything. And Tyler be doing that stuff. And he does the same thing with the girls. You know, he gets some, you know, some sexy women to be on the show and stuff. You do that. I lean over, I said to my wife, I said, now you need to close your eyes. You need not to be having your mouth open like that. And she didn't have it open, but, you know, my wife would play it off. She'd say, well, nah, you know, I ain't into all that muscle and stuff like that. You know,
I mean, that's nasty.
Hey, when you go to the movie, see that Think Like a Man? Be careful. Be careful with your facial expression, because there's some scenes in there, your facial expression you're going to have a facial expression. Just put it that way. And your wife going to have one. Don't even look at it. Just let her have that moment, because I'm just saying. It's going to happen.
Me and mine, I be wooing in the movie, she be wooing in the movie too.
I know. So you gotta let it go.
Yeah. You know,
you gotta let them go. That's an honest relationship there. You know, you know, because here's the thing. And me and my wife have talked about this many a times, probably more so me than her, but we've had communication about it. And the bottom line is, and I've told her, I am not the sexiest man on the earth. Simple as that. And I can honestly, I look at her and I say, look, you're not the sexiest. I'm not going to sit up here and say this stuff that I hear most men say and all this other. That's just garbage to me. And I tell her, you know, you're not the sexiest woman on the planet. The difference is, from the sexiest woman on the planet, or whoever defines the sexiest man on the planet, the difference is, but you are the total package for me. Yeah. There's more than just a body on you for me.
Mm-hmm.
You the total package, and vice versa. But I'm not going to sit up there and play games.
Yeah.
And so say, you know, you're the sexiest woman on the planet. You're the only thing I see, and this, that, and the other. That's just, you know, some of us only an aggressive woman away. And the reason why some of us haven't cheated isn't because we've refrained. We just haven't had someone to be aggressive to us. We've looked. We've, in some cases, desired. And if they had been aggressive, been on the attack, had been I was going to say a cougar, but some of us might not want cougars. But, you know, if they had addressed us, I'm not saying we would have gave in, but I'm saying everyone doesn't know that.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we shouldn't pretend that we do. In other words, we should just continually find that way of escape that's given to us,
yes.
Joseph, and turn to this is why I was saying earlier, I needed it explained to me on how something just happened. Because if we cut things off before anything happens, don't start no more be none. If you cut some things off in the beginning, then it won't necessarily happen. And I know I'm talking to mature men. We all had our things in the past.
Yeah, sure.
I'm not talking about our past.
That's what I was saying. In the past, yeah. You know, the thing in the past, if you're one of these guys in this category, you allowed that to happen. You wanted it to happen.
Sure.
You know, but once you get to a certain point where, you know, it's 100% totally about your wife. You got to learn how to get yourself out of things. I find myself getting myself out of things. And then one of the reasons, you know, I ain't never told my wife this, but one of the reasons why I got out of shape is because to keep the women off of me.
Wow.
I got that for a
reason.
That's your story. You sticking to it, right?
Well, I mean, I'm being honest, it was true because I was an athletic person, you know, shape, body shape, tall, had the nice job. I was driving, you know, the nice car, and they would be on you. They would just be coming up. They'd buy you a drink. You know, you're suited and booted every day, and it was like, all right, I got to change something. So I'm just going to get out of shape for a while. And I'm going to get into church, and I'm going to just go straight home. So instead of going to happy hour every once in a while, because, you know, most businesses are done either on the golf course or at happy hour.
Yeah.
Because if your bosses are there, that's where they're going to be doing. They're going to start talking to you the way they really want to talk to you because they're going to have a drink in their hand. And that's how you move up. But, those women at work, they see you, they watch you, they hang out with you, they trip out with you, and they try to catch you at those weak moments.
Waiting for you to slip up.
Mm-hmm.
Just
why God has a sense of humor, because he didn't put nobody in my work. I don't have no lookers at my job. And I ain't saying that because I'm so spiritual that I just can't see something. They just ain't nothing there.
Oh, you can see them.
I can see.
You can see them. They just ain't there. You would know
it. They just ain't there. I know. If they was there, they not there.
Yeah.
So yeah, man, it's just so you would do things to get the women off of you, and that's changing your image. I would cut my hair for about 2-3 weeks sometime, just to look rough. Have the beard be nappy or whatever.
Don't
I would just do that.
I feel you.
So that they would look at me different.
You just have to avoid. Like I said, you kind of have the whole Joseph thing. You just got to avoid certain conversations, certain uncomfortable situations. You just kind of have to avoid it, even if they are there. Okay, they're not at this particular work, but I've worked in places where they were there, and you just kind of, you know, you have to be mature enough. Again, if you use the whole Adam and the first Adam, second Adam scenario, you got the first Adam. He's immature. Right? I mean, to the point where when he slips into it, he falls into it or something just happens, first thing he do is say, the woman you gave me.
Yeah.
That's an immature kind of, you know. The other Adam, quote-unquote, you know, he comes up, he takes everything. Matter of fact, he gives himself away.
Mm-hmm.
And said, no, you know, I didn't do it, but I'm going to take the blame. I'm going to take it all. You know what I mean? That's a mature mindset. And that's kind of where, like I said, I know a lot of us have been in marriages before, been in relations before, ran women or did whatever we did or cheated or I shouldn't say cheated, because maybe we weren't in a relationship, but we were messing around with married women or whatever the case was. And, you know, that was kind of, I don't think that's what's on the call today. And if it is, then I hope we're helping some brothers.
mm-hmm. But that's that fear factor, man. That's that fear factor of how do you position yourself to stay away from that.
Mm-hmm. And that's a discipline, right? That's a lifestyle. I mean, you got to – certain conversations, the conversations that I was hearing the brother say earlier about, you know, talking about your household and, you know, your wife or any problems that you guys might be having, thing, that's an absolute no-no. I like to be back in the corner somewhere throwing my hand across my neck talking about, no, no, brother, no, cut that off. Cut that off.
Yeah.
That's dead. Kill that.
Yeah. You can't. You can't do that. You cannot feed into that because you're giving a woman a roadmap into your house.
mm-hmm.
Right. That's right. What kind of woman you like, which one you don't like. Absolutely.
Yeah, you just gave her the key.
Yep.
She knows everything your wife ain't doing. She knows all your complaints, and all she got to do is do two of the six.
Mm-hmm.
And you done.
Yeah, she got you.
Yeah, I know, because it happened to me. I know. I was running my mouth one night with with this one chick. Running it bad, talking about all kind of stuff that I was mad about. I was just venting. Yeah, you know. Here I am, and now I'm separated with this chick. She was actually the next chick. I'm separated and hanging out with this chick. And I was like, man, I set myself up, you know. And then she ends up with the next dude. I'm like, are you kidding me? This is what she does. She's a pro. This is what she does. She moves from man to man to man. Grab this one, destroy this one, get the next one, destroy that one, and keep destroying.
Exactly. That's,
you know?
That's exactly right.
And then
exactly.
I found out she only messed with men in a relationship. To marry in a relationship. That's all she attracted.
Destroy him and move on.
No
expectations. Destroy him and move on.
That's it.
No prisoners.
Because she was probably hurt, so she said, this is how I way of getting everybody back.
Yeah. Now, I ain't going to lie, we had a nice run. I ain't going to lie. it was a nice run, but it don't last.
Mm-mm. No.
It don't last. Because where'd I end up? Right back at home. Cool. Please let me back in. You know what I mean? That's
yeah.
It's bad.
And you gotta see the subtlety of those type of scenarios. I remember at a previous job that I was at managing a team, and when I took that team over, I took them out. It was only how many did I have? I don't know, somewhere around 8 or 10. But this particular team, it was two different teams, but this particular team was like 3-4 individuals. So I took them out to eat. And this one individual, an Indian lady, she, you know, I was taking them out to eat, and she said, well, next time, she shoots me an email, and she said, next time we should just do a potluck or whatever, and we should just have you cook for us or something like that. So, okay, that might not sound like it's anything in particular, but I kind of, any and every little thing, I kind of just say, okay, that's enough. I know it might sound silly, but if you allow things to go on, again, it's subtle. Next thing you know, that's why we say, or some would say, it just happened. It didn't really happen. You just missed all the subtle steps that happened leading up to that.
That's right.
and so I said, no, I'm not cooking anything for anybody. Not too long after that, she did something, I forget what it was, she did something, and I said, I did something. I said, my fault, yeah, that was my mistake. And she said, oh, it sounds like you owe me lunch. You have to take me to lunch or something. Right. And I was like, no, I don't think my wife would like that. I said, I'm only going to take my wife out to lunch or something along those lines or whatever. And then I finally had to tell her just little things would take place. And I finally had to set it down and say, look, some of the stuff is just inappropriate and you know, it was a real cool conversation. It wasn't nothing heavy or anything like that. And she understood where I was coming from, and that was it. And I never heard anything else from her on anything subtle or to the fact of us going to lunch or doing anything else together.
Yeah.
You know, so some brothers might say that's silly, but, you know, at the same time, these might be the same brothers that falling into
silly
stuff.
Yeah, but that's that attack, man. That's that.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what it is.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to keep coming. It just doesn't stop.
Right. Subtle. I mean, just like in the, you know, I keep bringing that on a lot, so I think somebody said something earlier, and that's what's triggering it. But, you know, the whole Adam situation, that was subtle. He didn't come directly, the serpent didn't come directly to Adam because he knew God spoke directly to Adam. He didn't speak to He spoke to Adam. And he didn't come to Adam. Instead, he went around, to Tony's point earlier, talking about that power that woman had, and maybe she don't understand all that power. He went to that woman because he knew that man, that woman can get that man to do a whole lot of stuff he ain't accustomed to doing.
Yeah.
She had him off the chandelier.
Yeah. That's crazy. Yeah, but it's true. It's true.
Happens every day.
I got an arrogant wife. She said, I know you ain't going to cheat on me. I ain't worried about you cheating on me. Tell me to my face. She's told me several times. She said, the last thing I worry about is you being unfaithful to me.
Wow.
I'm like, I'm glad you feel that way. You know what I mean?
Right.
That's like,
right.
You know, I don't know where it come from, but, you know, whatever. I mean, what else can you say to that?
Right.
She is wrong with it. I'm like, nah, I'm not worried about that.
That's funny. I don't know if you guys ever watched King of Queens, but that used to be me and my wife's show. Even today, we'll watch some of the reruns and stuff, but a very funny show with Kevin James. And him and his wife, Carrie, on the show said he had someone call his phone by accident and has, you know, asked for somebody or whatever the case was. But she didn't get jealous over it. And he thought, you know, she was immediately going to get real upset about a woman called your phone, this, that. And she didn't. She was kind of cool with it. She was, you know, kind of what Tony just said, you're not going to cheat on me. And so he got a little taken by that, a little upset, a little offended. And so he started doing things. He had this trainee on his job that he was training, this blonde, you know, pretty little thing. And he said, I tell you what, he says, you have any questions on the test, you know, while you're studying for your exam, whatever, just give me a call. Just go. Matter of fact, best time to call me, he said, like between 11 and 1 o'clock in the morning. and she called, and Doug, that's the name on the show, Doug said, woke both of them, or he was up waiting, right, for 11 o'clock to get there. And the phone was ringing. He didn't answer. He pretended like he didn't hear whatever. He laying in the bed. And Carrie says, are you going to get the phone, Doug? And he says, oh, you know, it'll stop ringing. Or why don't you get it? Why don't you give it here? Give it to me. And so she was like, just get the phone. I'm trying to sleep. So finally she gets the phone, and the girl, you know, so I guess asked for Doug or whatever. And she says, oh, yeah, hold on a second. And she gives it to him and turns right back over and goes to sleep. He's just completely, because he's like, so what do you don't think? I can cheat on you? I can. There's a lot of women that want me. And he's just kidding, right? So it's funny because it sounds like a lot of stuff that Tony says. And my wife kind of says the same thing or whatever. She's like, I'm not worried about you cheating on me. I was like, geez, wait a minute. Something wrong with me?
Yeah, that's
now you think something wrong with you. See, so you can't win. You can't.
That's when you go and you do your little flirtation out of the restaurant with the server or something like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Trying
to see
if you still got it.
You still got it. That's great.
That's crazy.
But it's true.
It's true.
Yeah.
We do have fears. We talked about a lot of them tonight. We definitely got some fears, but it sounds like, you know, none of them are pretty much overtaking us.
Right.
They're not keeping us from going to sleep at night. or changed my personality, which is a good thing.
Right.
Which is a good thing. So at 11:21, I'm getting ready to shut this one down and take it in the open mic. 1 second.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here.
We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.